Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode of Kitchen Club is kindly sponsored by Exhale Coffee, the first specialty coffee in the UK to be sourced and roasted for health. We're very excited by this coffee and all the research into it, showing that just one cup of Exhale Coffee has been tested to have the same antioxidant power of 12 punnets of blueberries, 55 oranges, or 1.2 kilograms of kale. That is pretty amazing.
Exhale's unique process is designed to lock in the natural plant chemicals and involves 9 different tests at independent laboratories across Europe. Amazingly, it is free from any nasties that you might find in other coffees, including mycotoxins, pesticides, toxins, and heavy metals. Plus, if you're a decaf drinker, you'll be pleased to know that it's the same as the regular coffee, but has been decaffeinated using the chemical-free mountain water process, which uses only the purest spring water. The magic is all in the sourcing and roasting of this coffee to bring out more of coffee's healthy compounds.
It's also absolutely delicious and tastes just as good as other specialty grade coffee. So if you would like to try Exhale Coffee, you can use code CLUB40 for 40% off your first bag in a subscription, plus free delivery. So head to www.exhalecoffee.com to find out more and enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to Kitchen Club with me, Serena Loud, and my fabulous friend, Sarah Malcolm.
For anyone new around here, Kitchen Club is the weekly podcast that brings you conversations from the kitchen table. Each week we have a brilliant new guest, a new area of expertise, and a new recipe which we create using our guests' 3 favourite ingredients.
Today's guest is Susie Smith. Susie is a hand poke tattoo artist and founder of Trichona Space, a holistic tattoo studio in Hackney. As a yoga and meditation teacher, Susie naturally weaves her knowledge and care for the physical, energetic, and esoteric being into her work.
We speak to Susie about the nature of hand poke tattooing, the meaning and intention behind her designs, and how she uses tarot for insight and guidance in her life.
This is such a fascinating conversation, and we are huge, huge fans of Susie's healthy habit. So keep listening to find out what that is. Here is our lovely friend, Susie Smith, on Kitchen Club. Hello and welcome, Susie. Thank you so much for coming on Kitchen Club.
Thank you for having me. It's so exciting.
How are you today, my love?
Good, good. As we've just been chatting about, I'm in my happy place.
Which is where, for the listeners?
In Wales, in the middle of Wales, just north of Brecon, at my boyfriend's place.
Beautiful.
Susie just took us on a little tour of, well, a little view before we started recording, listeners, and she showed us her beautiful view, and wow, do we wish we were there. It looks like heaven.
I think we all just need as much nature as we can, don't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. Susie, shall we start off by talking about your 3 ingredients that you gave us? And I have to say, your 3 ingredients were probably the worst we've ever got. Not in the terms of, like, how dare you, but Serena said what they were, and I thought, gosh, what the hell are we going to make with those ingredients?
But we have made something extra special. So please, can you tell us what your three ingredients were?
That's so funny. Yeah, so I think one of them was spelt flour, because during lockdown, I got into making homemade pasta. I was making homemade spelt pasta, but just ended up with like a half-used bag of flour all the time. So I thought, that's one handy thing. And I know how amazing you guys are with food, and I've experienced Serena's cooking. So I was like, I want Serena to make something delicious out of this. So it was all purely selfish.
So good.
And frozen peas, because I've always got them in the freezer, and the dog likes eating them straight out the freezer as well. So they're a favourite. And coriander, because I'm always making, like, dal is quite a regular meal for us, and we always end up with a mouldy half bag of coriander. So I thought, that's another good handy thing you can show me how to use.
So you've done this really strategically. You've basically thought, what do I need to use up? And I'll let the girls create for me, which is, I don't think anyone's done that before on the podcast. So good strategy, Susie. And yeah, when Serena said the ingredients, I thought, oh my gosh, no idea. And then I was reminded by Serena makes the most beautiful tarts ever. And when Serena was cooking on a retreat we were doing, and she made these tarts, and I thought, Serena, you have to make a tart. And then Serena came up with, for you, an easier tart recipe, which is, Serena?
Well, it's actually a galette, not a tart, which is great, because it means you don't have to have a like a tart tin. But we did you a summer, we haven't named it very sexily, summer veg spelt galette. But basically, it's got loads of ricotta and lemon zest and basil and coriander, ribbons of courgette, toasted pine nuts, and the pastry is made of spelt flour. So that's your spelt flour. Although, since we said spelt flour is a tricky one, I keep thinking of things that we could have done for you. We could have done like some dim sum. We could have done some gnocchi. I keep thinking of things now, which is typical.
But it's so handy, isn't it?
The tart was very good.
Whenever you've got flour in the cupboard, you can make pancakes. Like, it's a handy ingredient. My boyfriend is going to be so excited that you've made galette, by the way. That's like very good news for him.
Why? Does he love them?
Yes. Yeah.
And it is actually equally nice cold as when it's hot and fresh, which is always good to know. So you've got something in the fridge.
Amazing. Well, you know, I picked these ingredients so that you could come up with something that I can actually cook at home. So, you know, I will be doing this. Using your ideas.
We can't wait to hear what you think. So Susie, let's start with tattooing, because we'll obviously ask you a lot more questions about what you do and things, but most people who are listening will first have come across you as a yoga teacher. And so it'd be really nice to hear just briefly how you got to where you are today, what kind of kickstarted that transition from being a yoga teacher to being a tattoo artist. Because I think I'm right in saying it was never really your intention. It was never really your main goal, was it, to be a tattoo artist?
No, I never dreamt that I would end up being a tattoo artist. I think if you told me when I was, I don't know, 18 that I was going to be a tattoo artist, I'd have been like, oh my God, that's amazing. But I don't think I could have seen how it would actually happen. Yeah, there's a very long version of this story, and then there's like a more normal, like, short version. So I'll try not to ramble too much. So I became a yoga teacher when I did my teacher training in South America six years ago. And I think, like a lot of people, the thing that led me to become a yoga teacher is I was working in an office job, and I'd kind of lost a bit of a sense of myself, I think, by just sitting at a desk all day, like so many people find happens to them. And when I was younger, people always ask this, like, were you arty when you were younger? And when I was a kid, I was like the arty kid. And I think that was like a huge part of my personality. And at school, I loved art and I loved painting. And it was like who I was, you know, I was the arty kid, and used to skive PE all the time and just like run off to the art block and paint all day. And I think I, through my 20s, just doing a lot of adulting, I kind of lost that. And finding a yoga practice when I was like a bit sort of sedentary and stuck up in an office job, not really knowing how I got there, it kind of brought me back to myself a bit more. And as I traveled, I started, like, after my yoga teacher training, I traveled around South America and started drawing mandalas and started drawing all the chakras. So there was like a huge bit of inspiration that came from the imagery and the beauty of, you know, Indian culture and philosophy as well. And then came back from traveling and was teaching yoga and suddenly had this much more free, much more fluid life. And I think when you, like lots of people find, when you start to give yourself that bit more freedom, lots of other things pour into your life that you're like, oh, I forgot about this part of myself and I forgot about this part of myself. So yeah, the year after my first year of teaching, I think it was like around about 4 years ago now, I bought one of these hand poke tattoo kits because I wanted to do some tattoos for myself. And I was like, this will be fun. Like, you know, let's just have a play with this kit. And honestly, from the first, I just, on a Friday night with a glass of wine, was just like, right, let's do this then. And tattooed a little constellation of Taurus, which is my star sign, on my ankle. And I remember as I did it, I was just like, this is the easiest thing I've ever done. And so much fun. And it doesn't even hurt. And like, I've always loved tattoos since I was a kid. So I was like, why have I not been doing this the whole time? I can do whatever I like. And then because I'd, like you said, I've been teaching yoga by then for about, I don't know, 8 months in London or something, but a couple of years, like including traveling. And so I had quite a few sort of yoga students, yoga friends, yoga teachers was my whole world. And everyone was just like, I'll have one. So it wasn't my job or anything like that. But suddenly everyone was asking me for tattoos. And I was like, you're all mad. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. But honestly, everyone was just so amazing and just so, and all the, you know, we had very similar ideas and symbols came into it. Lots of element symbols, astrology, the lotus symbol, you know, all of those kind of things I was totally on board with. And I think people quite liked that they could come to me and tell me about their ideas that were quite intentional and quite meaningful and spiritual and not feel like I felt through my 20s going to tattoo studios and being like, can I just have this little lotus? Is that okay? You know, it was like suddenly people could come to me and actually we'd have a really good time and we'd have a chat and they'd come to my bedroom, which you're not really meant to do. not really meant to tattoo in your bedroom. But yeah, it was just really, really fun. And I did that for a year or so, just for friends, like just having a good time. And just bit by bit, it was then like friends of friends and friends of friends and friends of friends. And then obviously, you know, Instagram is a thing as well. So people started to find me through Instagram. And then within a year or 18 months, I was like, well, this is becoming a thing now. So I had to teach a bit less yoga, did more tattooing, less yoga, more tattooing, until I opened my own studio. And now I don't teach yoga anymore. And tattooing is my practice now. It's my equivalent.
Yeah.
And you're waitlisted for months and months because you're so popular. And it's so cool to have seen, because I was one of your bedroom tattoos back in the day. So it's amazing, like having now come to see your studio and you've got the most beautiful little space in Hackney. It's really, really cool to see how much it's grown and picked up momentum.
It's crazy. It is really mad. Sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, what's just happened in the last 4 years? But I think when I was tattooing people, you know, at house parties and stuff and in my bedroom, I was like, there should be this amazing studio that's like this beautiful safe space, like where you'd go to have a therapy or where you'd go to have a Reiki treatment. That this is the same thing, because I found when people were having tattoos, we'd have these like really beautiful deep chats, or we'd have this really like lovely silent calm time, because obviously I tattoo without a machine, just hand poke, which is more close to like the original traditional way of tattooing, and because it's quiet and so intimate in that way, it does feel like a lot more special. So something a bit more special happens. And yeah, doing it in a loud, aggressive, quite masculine studio just is so jarring. It's just not
right. Yeah. And for some people, you know, that might be the first time they've lay down all week or in their day and had some like time to really just digest, and that coming to you, as you said, like that is your yoga practice, that might also be that space for them to do just that and like calm down, tune in, and have a little like quiet time. How lovely.
Massively. It's so interesting because it is the whole, like, that moment when you actually lie down to have the tattoo. For a lot of people, it's like the moment of like relief as well, because you've been thinking about it and planning it, and there's all this build up to it. And then it's like, I get so many people just be like, oh, I can't wait just to, people who come back for their second or third tattoo, they're like, I can't wait to just lie down and have the calming experience, which is just not what you associate with tattooing.
And I also love, Susie, how you've kind of broken the rules in the way that you've got to where you are today. You know, as you said, you were doing it in your bedroom and stuff. And like, why do we need to have this kind of strict way of doing everything? And instead, you've kind of let life just flow through you and take you on this journey, and moving from career and jobs into what feels really authentic for you, I just think is a really inspirational thing. And for anyone listening, you know, to just like kind of trust life and that it will take you where it needs to take you, I think it's really beautiful.
It's funny with a lot of industries, I think this is, you could probably apply this to so many other things, that we all feel like we have to have this like permission before we're allowed to do something. And I think obviously with tattooing, there is, you know, technical elements where you need to do it safely and you need to do it, you know, there are, all of that is very valid, but there's a huge around the industry of tattooing, which I don't even know that much about because I'm very much like an outsider. But from my point of view, it's very gated and it's very dogmatic. And it's like, you do things this way. And that kind of is starting to break away a little bit now, which I think is why we see so many amazing, unique artists doing completely different types of stuff. Whereas for our parents' generation, it was like tattooing was something that not very nice people did, in their opinion. And it was like Sailor Jerry tattoos. And because it hadn't been open enough for new ideas and new different types of people, you know, not just white men in the, you know, bikers and stuff. It's now it's like so much more open to everybody.
Yeah. And you explained a little bit about hand poke. But please may you just tell anyone who doesn't know kind of a little bit more about that and how it differs from gun tattooing.
So I like to think of it, I always try to describe it as like the yin and the yang, you know, applying everything to some kind of yoga philosophy, basically. But if you think of machine tattooing as like the yang, like it's fast, it's quite aggressive, it's quite invasive for your skin. I'm not saying that like machine tattooing is evil and that hand poke is like the only way, because if you want to have a large tattoo, and certain artists that use machines, you know, are incredible and make beautiful, fine, delicate work. So it's not, this isn't gospel, but generally with hand poke, because you're not using the machine, my hand is holding the needle. I basically just take a tattoo needle and rather than putting it into a machine, I strap it to a single use chopstick, not just one that I get from the Chinese down the road. But yeah, attach it to a chopstick and then my hand can do maybe 50 impressions in the skin. So like 50 pokes, basically dots in the skin to 100 maybe in a minute. Whereas the machine, you're attaching it into the machine and it's doing like 1,000 a minute. It's like very, very fast. So what you're doing with hand poke is the same depth. It's the same principle. It's doing the same thing, but just less intense. So less fast, less when I do a tattoo, like the average size tattoo I do, maybe like smaller than the palm of your hand, I'd only use a couple of drops of ink really, because you're just tiny, tiny little dots. Whereas, yeah, with the machine, you're delivering more ink into the skin. It's delivering more punctures to the skin. So you do end up with something that's generally, most of the time, bolder, thicker, larger, quicker. You know, it's the yang. Mm-hmm. Whereas I find, yeah, hand poke is just like the nice, mellow, calm. Generally, they're finer, softer. And I prefer doing them smaller because otherwise, literally, would be there for days.
I can't believe you do 50 to 100 pokes in a minute. Like, that seems, I'm just imagining you as one of those birds that, you know, that tap like the keyboard.
I mean, I've never actually like properly counted, but this is like what the idea is. Yeah.
And because of the nature of it, that's why it tends to be a lot less I don't want to say painful because I actually don't find tattoos painful, but less, I guess, painful than a gun one, because a gun one's more like, am I right in saying like it's more like dragging through your skin while it hammers?
I just find that with the machine, it's intense. So there's like a heat and like your body is reacting to be like, what is this thing that's invading my body? Like it's, you know, your nervous system feels the vibration. As you know, like being yoga teachers, vibration, sound, that is so important to our nervous system. So when you've got a buzzing and a heat and a fast and a hot, you know, that kind of energy is very like provoking for your nervous system. Whereas, this is quiet and slow. And yeah, it is just, you have to experience it to really understand. But I mean, I would say if you had a machine tattoo that was like 2 centimeters, a little tiny weeny star, compared to a whole thigh hand poked for 8 hours, the hand poke's going to hurt a lot more than that tiny little 1 minute star. Yeah. So it is all about duration and size. That means a lot, because everyone always asks me like, is this more painful? It's like, well, it depends what you're having.
Of course, because if you're there for a long time, the adrenaline runs off and you start to feel it.
If I tapped you on the shoulder with my finger for 8 hours, you'd be like, could you stop that now?
Yeah, that's, you know, a good way of looking at it. Susie, with your creative process, like you've obviously said that there is the influence of yoga and the symbology from yoga that feeds into it. And obviously, if someone's coming to you and they're knowing exactly what they want and they're asking for something specific, then that's kind of that. But when it comes to you designing things and you helping people come up with things, where do you gain your inspiration from?
From the people that are asking me to tattoo them, first and foremost. The most common type of tattoo I do, I actually now have like quite a detailed an online consultation that I give people. And because I have so many people coming for their first tattoos, and often people who are like, I know I want this thing, but I don't know what I want. Like, I don't know exactly what it is. So I ask people for things like optional to tell me like the meaning, the intention, or the, you know, the deeper meaning for the tattoo. And then just ask them things about if they want certain symbols or what's meaningful to them. And I get a lot of things as people saying like, I feel connected to nature, or I feel connected to this. And the people... excuse me, the people having the tattoos are the people that give me the ideas, because as soon as I've read, I can read their thing and they're like, I've got no idea what I want, but here's all my stuff. And as soon as I read it, I'm like, I know what you want. I can see it. But it's hard. I think it's hard. Like, if I do it for myself, it's harder to design a tattoo for me than it is for someone else, because when you can take a step back and look at someone's ideas, you're like, well, it's crystal clear. But when you're stuck in your own thought and you overthink it, you overprocess it, I think we get stuck in our own way. So, the people that ask me for the tattoos, I'm like, well, 100% of the inspiration. I don't think I'd come up with a quarter of the tattoos that I do if it wasn't for the people telling me all of their amazing ideas. And it's sometimes it's harder. Sometimes someone tells me other ideas and it's a bit trickier. But I always say this to people, that like, you've just got to trust that the right thing is going to come through. And it always does. By the day that the tattoo comes around, it's always perfect. And I think there's a nice, someone actually said this to me once, who came for a tattoo with me, and she came for her first one like the year before. And she said she'd come back for her second one a year later, basically. And she said, when I came for that first tattoo, I was so nervous. And all I was thinking about is all of the different ways that it was going to be wrong. She was like, I kept thinking, no, it's going to be the wrong place. It's the wrong size. It's going to be the wrong look. It's not going to be the right thing. And she's like, as soon as I went home with that tattoo, I realized that there were so many different ways that it could have been right. Like, it could have been right on my leg. It could have been right on my forearm. It would have been right on my back. But we get stuck in our own head of like the wrong thing, rather than knowing that there's a billion different right tattoos for you. But it's just plucking it out of the air.
That's
at the right
so
time.
Nice. Yeah. And Susie, do you think that all tattoos have to have meaning? Like, do you think, you know, when people say, oh, what does that mean? What does that mean? Do you think there needs to be like this heavy, heavy symbolizing element to like every tattoo? Or, you know, do you think a pretty tattoo, like if you want a picture of a,
I don't know. I was trying to think of something like wild then.
Just like a flower.
The first thing came to mind was a bum.
No, I definitely don't think tattoos need to have deep meaning at all. I also think, so there's the meaning side of stuff, which I find really interesting. And then there's just expression, and especially I tattoo like 90% women, and I think we should be free and able to, you know, express ourselves however we want and in with whatever imagery. And I think, yeah, decorating your body, I mean, it's like one of the oldest practices of mankind to express our creativity through the way we look. And so, yeah, that's huge, just being able to decorate yourself. And I have tons of tattoos that don't mean a thing. And I still do tattoos where I'm just like, oh, kind of like that. I think I'll just tattoo that on myself. But then it becomes actually the practice of being like, I choose this for me and for nobody else. And I'm not going to, this is another thing that sometimes when people, I try to send designs like a good amount of time before the appointment, because I've had bad experiences in my life where I've turned up at a tattoo studio without a clue of what they're doing and feeling very unheard and feeling very unlistened to, and a bit, there's a little bit of like a dark space in the tattoo industry, I think, for like intimidation and pressurizing you into doing things. Because I imagine if you do this, maybe if you do this for 20 years and you lose the love for it or something, you just want to churn through people. Maybe there's that. But I don't want to put anyone into that position. So I do give designs to people quite a lot in advance compared to other tattooists, to give them time to process and to think about it, and make changes and make it yours, you know. But the downside of that is sometimes people are like, oh, I showed my boyfriend and then he said that, you know, he didn't quite like that thing. I'm like, it's not for him. It's for you.
Yeah. It's important, though. I think it's really nice that you are remembering and recognizing that the person who's coming to you is probably nervous, and it is a big, it's a lifelong commitment for them. Whereas I've had experiences of getting tattooed where you go in and you say like, oh, I'm not that happy with it. And they say, well, like, I'm going to keep your deposit if you don't just have it. And I'm like, okay. And so I've got a really shit tattoo because of that. So no, I think it's really nice that you recognize that that is a big thing for the person who's come in, and they might be terrified if it's their first tattoo. Mm-hmm. Well, I read something on your website just while we were talking about the meaning of tattoos. You said, to me, a tattoo is a beautiful way of expressing creativity, an auspicious spark of decisiveness, or marking a moment in time, which I think is really lovely. And I think the whole kind of conversation around tattoos being meaningful is a really interesting one, because it's like people expect a tattoo to have a meaning. I get asked the whole time, like, what does your tattoo mean? And half the time it's kind of personal. I'm like, I don't want to have to explain it to you, because you then see people's face like judging a bit. And you're like, as you say, it's for me. It doesn't matter. Why do you care? So often I'll just be like, oh no, it doesn't mean anything. It's just pretty. Because that conversation of then explaining the meaning to someone else brings judgment. And then, like you said, it's about remembering that actually it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about it. You did it because you love it, and that's that.
Exactly. It's for you. And I do some really deep, deep, meaningful tattoos for people sometimes if they've like lost a loved one or go through come out the other side of a traumatic experience. And I do say sometimes, like, you know, you don't have to tell anyone what this means. You don't even have to tell me what it means. You know, it's for you completely. It's a bit like, not as bad, but it's a bit like the whole like touching a pregnant lady's bump, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's on my body. It belongs to me. Like, it's not actually any of your business.
This is a quick unscheduled question. Susie, how many tattoos do you have?
I don't know. I think about 40, I think. But there are lots of little ones dotted around, and then some of them have like joined up together. And so it's hard to tell, but yeah. I know when I was like, I think when I turned 32, I had 32. I think there was something happened like that. And I'm now 34. So I've got another 2 years worth of tattoos, however many I've done in the last 2 years.
I wondered if you had a specific number in mind.
I think around 40. That's like my rough guess.
Susie, when I saw you the other day and we were chatting about inspiration and stuff, you said that you've recently got into tarot.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Can you tell us about how you're enjoying that, how you're using it, how it's influencing your work?
Yeah. So I, beginning of the first lockdown, I got my first tarot deck, which was actually Serena inspired by you, because you had that one by The World Unknown.
They're the ones I told you about. That's so cool. Love
that. As soon as I think you posted a picture of it, and I was like, I need to have that in my life. I mean, I'm a very visual person, so it's no surprise that tarot found me eventually. I think I'd always been intrigued. And bought my first deck and was up here in Wales, in my soul home, for the first lockdown. And I just found that every time I pulled the cards, it was just saying something. It was just speaking to me. And I knew nothing about it. Honestly, like, I'm still not anywhere near coherent in, like, the whole language of tarot. But every time I'd pull a card and, like, see what it meant in the book or something, it was just like, oh, that's really speaking to me. Or what I find now is I've now got the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck, which is like the kind of original or the older one. And I find I'll pull cards, and even just the imagery on the cards, and just like, oh, I get this feeling from it. And it kind of gives you just a little bit of a taste of something that maybe has been there in your mind, but you haven't processed, you haven't, like, thought about. And I just find them like lovely little starting points for just like figuring out maybe what's simmering under the surface and just getting to know yourself a little bit better. And I've done over the years, I've you know, done a lot of yoga and meditation and had lots of Reiki. We did our Reiki attunement together, didn't we, Sarah and Serena? And I think that I've finally found with tarot that because it's so tangible, like I'm a very like earthly person. I'm a Taurus. I like pretty things. I like objects. And it's like, okay, this is speaking to me. So this is going to be my discovery tool for the time being, for sure. And then there's all the beautiful archetypes, relating it back to the tattooing. They are so inspirational, just like that there are all these different threads in all of us. And the visuals out of the tarot, like even like the eight-pointed stars and there's tiny little symbols and things that I've absolutely borrowed. Serena
bought me my first tarot deck as well. And so she's got us all into it. Yeah.
That was just a really random one from the charity shop by my house.
Yeah, but it's
because
still lovely.
I kept talking about it and I walked past and was like, well, I have to get it for her. But
that's
I don't
magic.
Even know who they were by.
Think how much power is in that deck. If you've got it secondhand, that's amazing.
And it's the most beautiful tin as well. I really love tins and it feels really special, like opening the tin. It's massive. But I completely agree with you, Susie. I think it's it kind of reawakens the parts of us that maybe are lying dormant. And it also just feels like, the universe is kind of here for me. It's like got my back and that I'm like supported a bit more than how I originally thought. I think
there's so much, I think, that we can all benefit from just ritual and just even the beauty that, you know, tarot has been used by people and interpreted and reinterpreted and reinterpreted for hundreds of years. So it's like, think of all that power that's accumulated and all the people who have, you know, sat in front of their cards and pulled things. I just think there's anything that is repeated and made into ritual and has this like belief and this following, it just has power. That's how these things work.
I agree. Let's talk about your healthy habit because it might be our favorite ever. Please may you tell us all about your healthy habits, Susie.
Well, I did almost made it a self tattoo because that's one of my other like really fun habits, but then I was like, maybe it would be a little bit mean to make you guys tattoo yourselves. So my healthy habit is completely inherited from my mentor and my yoga teacher who I've been practicing with for years and years, Naomi Absalom. And she kind of drilled into me through multiple mentorships that I took with her, this idea from The Artist's Way, which is a really beautiful like creative discovery program if you're ever interested to do that kind of thing. And it's taking yourself on an artist's date. So the idea is to kind of indulge your creative soul and solo, not with anybody else, take yourself out on it could be like a really beautiful walk, or it could be just taking yourself for like a delicious meal by yourself, or to a gallery, or to do something that you've not done before, like do some pottery or just anything that's going to spoil yourself and indulge yourself in a sort of way that will allow you to, you know, get more in touch with your creativity. And I feel like this came into my life at a time when I'd really immersed into teaching yoga. Like, I became the yoga teacher in the Lycra, and all I was doing was like reading the Bhagavad Gita and going to everybody's classes and writing my plans and rewriting them and scripting my class. And I think a lot of us, that could probably be applied to so many different things, that we try so hard to fit into this box of being like, I'm going to be really good at this, that we forget to just like be really good at being ourselves. And that taking yourself out and being like, I just am going to be in my own company and let my own soul thrive without needing to try and fit into any of these boxes or do anything. It just, for me, it was really the thing that, like, another one of these things that just sparked that like remembering of who I am. And I still do it now. And I think actually in a yoga class at some point, she, a couple of years after she first suggested this to me, Naomi like heckled me a little bit in one of the classes and was like telling, like talking about the idea to the class at the beginning. And then was like, if anybody wants to know about this, just go and have a chat with Susie, because she's really good at taking herself out on a date, treating herself.
I think it's so, so important. And I don't know why I feel a bit teary about the whole idea, because it's just been such a tough year. And I think as practitioners, and I'm sure everyone can apply this into their lives, but, you know, we have to show up so much for everyone else as a tattoo artist, as a healer, as a coach, as a mentor, you know, we have to be there. And it's so rare that we get to, and the same as like being a mother, being a parent, being a carer, it's so rare to be our own friend and to really date ourselves and treat ourselves. And I think it's such an important thing to do. And you really, I mean, I've been having really like negative conversations with myself the last few weeks, transitioning back into the real world. And I did this healthy habit and I took myself on a date, a morning date last week. And I just was like, oh, babe, you're doing great. Like, come on, this is like, and I really was having this time that I could just speak to myself without distraction of a phone, without emails, you know, just spending time with yourself. I think it's so important. So, so important.
We get so stuck into feeling like, if you're going to go, you wait for your other half or you wait for your friend to be able to go to the gallery, and you're like, just go to the gallery. Like, just do the thing that you want to do. And you get such a different experience, because I mean, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love spending time with my boyfriend, and he's my favorite person on the planet. And I'd rather always love to do things with him. But when you're on your own, you just have a different experience, don't you? You're in your own world.
When you voice noted me your healthy habit, you made a distinction, which I think it's important to share with the listeners, in that if you've been sat at your desk all day and you've not seen the sunlight, and then you like go for a quick half an hour stomp around the park, like that doesn't count. That's not your date. You said to me, like, your date would be going to the park and taking a nice drink and your book and sitting under the trees and like spending some time there. We can't just see the like quick need some fresh air as our nice thing for ourselves. And I suppose it brings up a bigger conversation around treating yourself. And like, I don't love to think of it as treating yourself, because I think it implies that like you need to have done something good in order to deserve it. And actually we should all just be doing these nice things for ourselves, but we've been conditioned to think that it's not necessary and it's not our first priority. But I loved your healthy habit, because I think it's so, so important, as Sarah said, that people are taking time for themselves. And I think that we don't do it often enough. It becomes like this, it feels indulgent, it feels selfish, it feels like we should be looking out for everyone else. And I really don't think that's the case. So I really enjoyed it. And it's something that I always recommend to my clients. I say every week they have to do something to celebrate themselves, something to like pat themselves on the back and be like, yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah. Enjoy life.
Enjoy life. It's quite scary though, isn't it? To take yourself out for a meal, or take yourself somewhere where people think, have they been stood up?
Well, the trick is, now I've got my dog, obviously, Peanut, who is my, like, witch's familiar, and she goes absolutely everywhere with me. And I had a little solo trip to Margate a couple of weeks ago. I was there for two nights, and I think someone messaged me. I was like, oh, it's really nice that you can go on a holiday on your own, like, alone. And I was like, I'm not alone. I'm with my dog. Like, honestly, it's like people... I think there's this thing of, like, if you're alone, then you're lonely. But it's like different people have different types of company. And I love it. Like, I had a glass of wine with Peanut. I was like... We were going out in the town.
That was the other thing that you said to me, babe, when you explained it, was you said... You said about dressing up for yourself, not just for other people. And Susie said when she goes on one of these dates with herself, she'll put a bit of lipstick on or she'll put a dress on, because we do tend to dress up. Like, I only wear makeup when I'm going out somewhere with people. I mean, the summer's different because you wear a dress because it's hot. But, like, I don't dress up for myself. I don't put on nice earrings for myself. And so I think that was a really nice thing that you added as well, that people can do, so that you're beautifying yourself and adorning yourself for you.
And this is tying back to this whole idea of, you know, with tattooing. And during lockdown, this last lockdown that everyone found so difficult all winter, the thing that really saved me, and it was going to be, like, I think I said to you, Serena, when I saw you last, that it was possibly going to be my healthy habit, was even when I wasn't even leaving the house, I was, like, putting on my favorite top and, like, getting dressed up and playing with clothes like I used to when I was a teenager. Because this is something that happened to me when I became a yoga teacher, and probably when I was working in office, something similar happened, where I was suddenly in this, like, adult uniform of, like, whether it's leggings or whether it's, you know, my heels and my skirt or something. It's like I had to kind of be someone else. And I feel like since the last few years, definitely, I feel more like 12-year-old Susie than I ever have before in my life. And it's great. Like, she knew what she was doing.
I love that. That's so nice. That's so sweet.
That's so cute.
Oh, what a lovely, lovely bit to finish on.
I love your healthy habits. So good.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to do it.
Take yourself on a date.
And then message us and tell us what you did.
Yeah, we should start a club.
Yeah.
Self-love club.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Like, artist date club, and everyone can post their images. It'd be great. Out with their dogs.
Yes. Yes. I just need to get a dog.
You can borrow mine. You can borrow mine. Both of us were like, have it. Have the dog.
I'll have Indian Peanut at the same time.
Borrow my doggy.
Susie, thank you so, so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's been so nice having a chat with you guys.
Thanks, babe. Aww. Lovely having you on. See you soon.
See you for another tattoo soon, I hope.
Oh, yeah. I'm planning it. Thanks, bye. Susie. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us, Susie. We have wanted to have Susie on the pod for so long, so that was such a treat. And if anybody is thinking about getting a tattoo, I really, really recommend going to see her. She creates such a safe and welcoming and friendly space. She's super helpful with the whole creative process, and she's lovely to chat to while you get done.
While you get done. If you would like the recipe for today's episode, and you absolutely will because it's a delicious summer recipe, you can find it on our Instagram page at Kitchen Club Podcast, and we'll leave the details for that in the show notes below. And if you are enjoying our podcast, we would really, really love it if you could leave us a little review or share with your friends, your family, your loved ones, anyone you think will enjoy this. And give us a little rating and subscribe. Just do all of the things if you're enjoying. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.